the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In this recording, we look into God is Good, as inspired by the creation story. The main reading is Genesis chapter 1.
So we're looking at Genesis 1. Romans 1 tells us that his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature are seen by what is created, how he created what is created. So we can see, we can understand who he is. And first when we looked at, he obviously is omnipotent because he created out of nothing. That alone is just mind-blowing. The more we know, the more we understand, it's just beyond our imagination. And then first thing he said was, let there be light, openness, purity, holiness. He's the God of transparency, and he exposes and brings direction and illumination. And last week, 10 times it says in chapter 1, and God said. God said. God is a God that discloses himself. He reveals himself. He wants relationship. He wants to speak into our lives. God is a God who speaks. Bless his name. So 10, we know 10 is a great number, isn't it? 10, number of completion. So we looked last week at our God is a God that communicates, relates, longs to be in our lives, longs to speak to us if we will but listen. Bless the Lord. Again, I was listening to someone yesterday on a podcast saying about, he was saying since 2000, 30 million people have left the church in America. It's a lot of numbers. Of course, church going population is quite high there, or was quite high. But then they looked at another statistic about how many of those go to church actually read the Bible. And it was like 20% who actually read it on a regular basis. And then he said, there's your answer. There's your answer why people have drifted and have no idea, no foundation, no root. So when we look at God's word, he loves to speak, he longs to speak, and this is God's word. It is God's word. So often we say it contains God's word. No, it is God's word. It's as if God was by us, speaking to us. And when we begin to think of it like that, different. You can't then say, oh, I find this boring. Now, there's places we find it challenging and difficult. I think, oh, what's this all about? But when we, and this chapter saying, before I read, pray the psalm, open my eyes, Lord, so I may see wonderful things in your word. He said, every time I pray that before I read, so the Lord is on a bound, isn't he? Because it's his word. So again, the next thing we find out, God, again in that chapter one, something reoccurs seven times. Again, seven, numerical. God is a God of, remember, God of order. And when we think about numbers, God doesn't do anything by accident, not like us, flippant, no, everything. One word stands out seven times. In fact, the seventh time, good, very good. And God saw that it was good. And when he saw everything he created, it was very good. And so what we're seeing straight away, another characteristic of God, God is good. God is good. Moral excellence, moral perfection, worthy of admiration. Few different words in the New Testament, we'll drop into those in a moment. But ultimately, excellent, splendid, valuable, righteous, proper, worthy, profitable, delightful, beneficial, useful. All those words, when we think of good, again, we'll look in a moment about not necessarily our definition of good is the Lord's, because he is perfect. And our good can be twisted, can it? And when things are not going so well, we think, is this bad? But we'll see in a moment how, if we change our perspective, everything, if we're walking in the Lord, in the perfect will of God, loving him, serving him, everything that comes across our path is because he allows it. Mm-hmm. And it's good. Because he's doing a work. It may appear bad at the time. May appear painful at the time. But God is good. I love this scripture. Luke 18. Rich young man come to Jesus. Luke 18, 18 to 20.
A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honour your father and mother."
So, in reason, straight away, if you listen to some people, they say, well, he's obviously saying that only God is good and he's not. That's not exactly what he was saying, is he? He was getting to the heart. Jesus always tried to get to the root of the problem by asking questions, the root of someone's question. Why do you call me good? Only God is good. Do you actually know who you're talking to? And that's what he was saying. He wasn't denying his goodness, of course, because he was good. But he was just trying to see, and of course, his declaration, only God is good. And we see in a moment that we think we're good, but we're far, far from it. God is good, and his goodness he reveals. What about these verses from Exodus? Exodus 33 is the question, and then Exodus 34 is God's reply.
Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all the goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." 6 and 7. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, retaining love to our thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of their parents to the third and fourth generation."
As we said before, we looked at that verse. "Now show me your glory," one of the greatest prayers Spurgeon said you can ever say. "Lord, show me your glory." He said, "Let me show you what my glory is, my goodness, the goodness of my nature, my character. Let me show what my goodness is." The Bible says he passed, and out of his goodness, out of his character, this is what he said he was: compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and favors, maintaining love, forgiving, listen to this, not just sin, wickedness and rebellion. Really, you know, that's the nth degree, isn't it? Yet, as we see in a minute, Romans 11, "Consider the goodness and the severity of God, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished." Why? Because he would be unjust and he wouldn't be good. Goodness means both gracious and just. So he is good. He is good. And he reveals himself. "Good and upright is the Lord. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Even a fallen world, we can see the goodness of God. Again, we may drop in some of those questions in a moment. Why is God good and so many bad things happen? We'll have a little dig into that as well. How about Psalm 119, 65, 68?
"You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart."
Amen. You are good and you do good. In fact, one verse says, you do good to all. And of course, Jesus said, the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous, doesn't he? That's his mercy, because God is good. He's essentially good, he's absolutely good, he's consummately good. Now, the devil challenges him. Remember, we talked about the devil challenging God's word, the accuracy and the authority of God's word. Did God say? And remember, he's going to challenge the goodness of God, his character. He challenges his word and he challenges his character. Did God say? Challenges his word, the authority, the accuracy. And then he says, you know why God did that? Because he knows when you do this, you will be like him. He will be. Challenges the character of God. And we fall for it all the time. When God tells us to do something or not to do something, remember, it's because he's God. And it's because it's for our protection and provision. We say, oh, I'm not sure about that. Let me say, when God says, do this and don't do that, we know it's for our benefit. The devil will come along and say, ah, dear, are you sure about that? No, you enjoy doing that, man. Enjoy that. And it makes you feel good. And the Lord, well, you know, and of course now, because we say the Lord, he'll say, the Lord will forgive you. Wouldn't he? Lord, forgive you when you say sorry. So we get all in a pickle. And we all get, why? Because we challenge the character of God. God is good. So whatever he says, we know is absolutely true. I love this refrain. We sometimes sing it, but it's right through the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms, isn't it? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? Good. And his mercy endures forever. That was the refrain. And you'll find it right through the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms. Let's see where we can pick one up already. 2 Chronicles 7.
When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests sacrificed the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
Yeah, he is good, and his mercy endures. That's why they worship. That's their theme of their worship and praise, because if he's not good, he's not merciful, we're in trouble. Because if he's almighty, and he's not essentially good, you're in trouble. And I certainly am. But because he's good and he's merciful and he's almighty, we are in a good place. Thankfully, the Bible says Jesus, anointed by the Holy Spirit and power, did what? Went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And we see that in the Lord as he works, as he goes around and does those things. Of course, our theme, our song, etiquette, the protocol, Psalm 100, when we enter the presence of the Lord. Psalm 100.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
We worship, we praise because he is good. He is essentially good. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in days of trouble. Psalm 34, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. No shifting shadows, no variance like me and you. Good one day, not so good the other day. They said of Jesus, what? He has done all things well. Remember, they couldn't find any fault in him, could they? The pilot, the great interrogator, who could twist and distort, because what did he say? What is truth? Well, it was truth to what he wanted it to be. He could distort, and he said, I can't find anything wrong with him. I can't find anything wrong. So we see who he is, and that's the refrain of our worship. Psalm 145, 6 to 9.
They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made.
Lord is good. Has compassion. Bless the Lord. He is good. That is our God. And that's why we worship and adore him. Now, let's just delve a little bit to realize that we aren't. Now, of course, we have a mantra in our world today that people are essentially good. You heard this, didn't you? People are essentially, he's a real good person, essentially good, but of course people do bad things. But we're all good people. That's the mantra, that's the world's, that is the lie of the devil, of course. Why? Because it challenges the authority and the accuracy and the character of God. Let's see what the Lord's got to say about the situation, and then we'll have to confront ourselves. Romans 3, 9 to 12.
What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proof, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
Well, so there's what the world tells us. This is what the Lord tells us. There is none righteous, not one, and there's no one who does good with that purity. Now, people can do good things because that's we still have that imprint of the Creator, but essentially we are bad, but we can do things, good things, not the other way around. Not we are good, but we do bad things, but we are essentially in root, in nature, in character, bad. That's what the Bible says. Let's read Matthew 7, 7 to 11.
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?
Again, we can read that pretty quickly and we can miss out what Jesus is saying. If you who are evil... Now, again, we can run over that and say, well, we give good gifts. No, he's saying you're essentially evil by nature, yet you can give good gifts because the imprint of the Creator is still on you, warped, distorted, of course, with sin. But essentially, we are evil. And when Paul was going through salvation and our nature and all this kind, he comes to chapter 7 and we see him bearing his heart, don't we? The things I want to do, I can't do. Things I didn't want to do, I'm doing. And he says, there is no good thing within me. That's why the first beatitude is blessed are the poor in spirit. Because we realize who we are. Not what the world says we are. No. Ultimately, essentially, we are not good. He is good. And that's why Jesus is the only one. He's the only one. But we are not. We are not. But bless the Lord, here is where the Lord's nature comes through. Of course, these number of words in the New Testament, one is essentially the good we understand, moral excellence, profitable, useful. Next one is really consistently good, constitutionally good, but not necessarily have benefits apart from that. And it's this particular word we're going to read now, which is an outworking, a practical outworking of goodness, which means gracious, kind, furnished, what is needed, profitable, kindness. Sometimes it's interpreted as, but let's read this. Romans 2, 1 to 4.
Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever art thou judgest, for therein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them that which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
The goodness of God leads us to repentance. Mm-hmm. Of course, the background again, the first few verses are talking about people who are saying, oh, look at them, and actually not looking at themselves because they are as bad, if not worse, because they are condemning those who are doing these. You're doing the same things. What are you doing? Are you throwing off the goodness of God, the kindness of God? He said, remember the kindness of forbearance, the love, the goodness of God leads us to repentance. That's amazing, isn't it? When we see the goodness of God, it leads us to say, Lord, how we desperately need you. This is who you are. This is who we are. and we need you. We are desperately wicked. And Paul, as he works that out in Romans, he says, Lord, what is this salvation? And of course he says, no eye has seen. And he says, Lord, he just magnifies the Lord. Comes into chapter 12, we'll read in a moment. And he says, Lord, what's my response? I'm giving you my life. Why would I not? I know who I am. I know what you've done for me. There's my response. The goodness of God. I love this Psalm 25. Don't remember the sins of my youth, O Lord, and my rebellious ways. According to your loving kindness, your hesed, remember me. For your goodness sake, O Lord, remember not my sin. For you are good, O Lord. For your goodness sake, do not remember my sin and my rebellious ways. That's our response, isn't it? The Lord is a stronghold. The Lord is good. Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Bless the Lord. Let's go to what comes out of his goodness to us who know him. Psalm 84, 8 to 12.
Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Creator. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in him.
No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's amazing. Of course, then, we've got to define what good is. And we'll just have a little about that. We know Romans 8, and sometimes we've slightly misinterpreted that. All things work together for good. Careful that, because for those who love him, and the verses before, those who are interceding, and those who are allowing the Spirit to work and pray through them. No good taking that verse and saying, oh, this is happening. No. You remember, we can get ourselves into a pickle sometimes because of what we've done or what we haven't done. Perhaps a better understanding is this: in everything God works, in everything God works for good with those who love him. That's an amazing verse as well. But no good thing does he withhold those who are walking uprightly. Psalm 23 verse 6, the shepherd's psalm. Surely, certainly, what goodness and mercy shall follow me. Remember someone saying, of course, God is Jesus' shepherd. Two sheepdogs, three sheepdogs pursuing us, chasing us. What are they? His goodness and his mercy. Bless the Lord. Now, what about the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Well, straight away, we've just found out that there's no good people anyway, is there? So we can't really say, let me say, I've known some wonderful Christians, and I would call them good. And bad things have happened to them. I think they've been ill and all that. And some of those can't understand because we're from a different perspective. We're from a fallen world. So bad things, when we say bad things happen to good people, first of all, if we're going to be really honest and blunt, none of us are good anyway. So even if we have to go through difficulties, well, sometimes, what can we say? Lord, that's you are just. But again, be careful we don't get ourselves in those places. Perspective, of course, and sometimes God is working those purposes out in plans and purposes. We don't see them, but we'll just read in a minute. If our eyes are on the Lord, we have a different perspective. Now, our world, when it was made, was good and very good. So straight away, that denies and negates Darwinian evolution straight away, because Darwinian evolution says the survival of the fittest, death, decay, and disease wasn't where, because when God made it, it was good, and those things are not good. And of course, when sin entered, and that's why we sometimes don't understand and we minimize sin, because when Eve sinned, the Lord says, what have you done? Because it wasn't just, the devil lies, sin only affects you. No. there is a ripple effect. And that effect, the whole of creation fell. Prior to that, there was no death and disease, was there? There was no animals ripping each other apart. There was no this and that. But soon as sin entered, chaos, chaos. And that's why the Bible says that even now creation groans till the Lord comes and repurposes, redeems it. Sin drops everything and destroys everything. So we're living in a fallen world. So when we see disease and all those things, it's because the world has fallen. Sin. And you say, well, why? If God is good, God is almighty, why? Because he created us with free will. He created us with free will. Now, he created us with free will because that gives us dignity, person. That's why we can love him. We'd be a robot otherwise. The problem is, when free will comes, we can freely choose to do the Lord's will or freely choose to do our own will. But that's how the Lord has designed it. He is good. So he said, look, I'm not going to make you a robot. I love you. What is your response? And we understand that. But when those great questions of life come up, sometimes there's no answer. Look, we've got to be honest, haven't we? So, you know, and I love Jesus because in Luke 13, they said, Jesus, you know, when that tower fell and when those Galileans were, I think it was 18, killed by Pilate, were they sinners? And the Lord, why did that happen? This is what the Lord didn't answer that question. Why? Because probably we wouldn't understand. We're again, different perspective. We're in time, eternity. We'll show everything different. He said, they were no worse than you, and you were no better than them. But unless you repent. See, what he does, he uses all these things that are going on to bring people to their knees, to know that they need him. And that's really, when we see all these things going on, we had that film about Ukraine, didn't we, last year, where many years ago, well, even up until recently, mighty churches, some of the biggest churches in Europe, Pentecostal churches, mighty. But of course, what's happened, Western influence, it's not always the best influence, is it? Because materialism comes in and ease and prosperity, not good prosperity, bad prosperity, where we... and that's what happens. And I talked about Mike in Romania, it's happened that there. When there was communism, when there was real battle, people who went to church were on fire for God, loved the Lord, because there was resistance. And they knew if they went to the house of God, people could point a finger and they could, you know, there was, and of course Ukraine, but since the war, which you wouldn't wish on anybody, but through it, God uses it to bring many, 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 isn't he? Many are returning to the house of God, many are returning to the Lord. Why? Where are we going to turn? Only you have the words of eternal life. So when we see things, we need to see with a different perspective. Now let's have a look at this. Joseph. Genesis 50, 15 to 21.
When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messengers to Joseph saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to him, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for I am in the place of God. What am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them.
Again, godly perspective. You meant it for evil. Let me tell you, in the middle of that, I don't think he was thinking of God's goodness then, was he? When his brothers, well, originally they were going to kill him. Let's kill him. I mean, that's amazing how bitterness can really run up in hatred to your own brother. But they said, no, let's put him in that well. But there, and of course, then they sold him on. He said, you meant it for evil, but he could see from the perspective, but God meant it for good. I like the word meant there. It means to weave, a plait in your hair, of course, to fabricate, to plot. God twists things and changes things that all we think are evil and chaotic. If we are in the will of God, if we are serving Him, if we've got our eyes on Him, God will work it out for good and for the benefit. He said, look, you meant it for good, but He sent me ahead so many would be saved. Many would be saved. So that's a great... When we think that's bad, that's again, careful with that from our perspective. Our perspective is sometimes twisted because we think when we talk about good, everything's going to be swimming all the time, isn't it? Well, that's not what the Lord tells us, and that's not what the Lord promises us either. One of God's faithful missionaries, Alan Gardner, experienced many physical difficulties. He was a missionary and hardships through the service of the Savior. Despite his troubles, he said, while God gives me strength, failure will not daunt me. In 1851, at the age of 57, he died of disease and starvation while serving the Lord on Picton Island, the southern tip of South America. When his body was found, his diary lay nearby. It bore the record of hunger, thirst, wounds, and loneliness. The last entry in his little book showed the struggle of his shaking hand as he tried to write legibly, but it read, I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. Yeah. Oh. See, that's when we change our perspective from now and time and temporal to God Almighty, eternal, who's got it all in the hand if we will put our life in His hands. Corrie ten Boom, when her little daughter, her little sister was dying, and darkness of those camps, dear me, where's God's goodness in that? Of course, great question. She became discouraged, and she said to Betsy, "Ah, God has forgotten us. God has neglected us." But her sister, who was dying, would die in the camp, said, no, Corrie, he said, he has not forgotten us. Remember his word. For as high as the heavens are above, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Corrie concludes, there's an ocean of God's love available to, there's plenty for everyone. May God grant you never to doubt the victorious goodness and love, whatever the circumstances. Of course, when things happen, that's the devil's work straight away, is to challenge God's character and God's word. Then that's where faith clicks in. That's where we know our God. To know that God is good. He's always good. Everything He does is good. Do we understand everything He does? No, because we're not God. But when we get to heaven, we'll see Him, the fabric, the weaving, the things He's done. Bless the Lord. Right, Romans 12, 1 to 2, and verse 9 as well, on the end.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good.
So our response to salvation, the goodness of God, surrender and ongoing transformation. Do not be squeezed by what the world says, but be transformed. Metamorphosis, isn't it? How does a caterpillar change into a butterfly? He eats voraciously, 100 times his body weight. He eats and eats and eats. So he can transform. That's how we transform. And then we'll be able to test. What's his will? His will is always good. It's always pleasing. And it's always perfect. And then he says, as he goes through, are we to live it out? Cling. Cleave to that which is good. Same word as when we married. Glue. Cement yourself. Cleave to that which is good. Galatians 6, 7 to 9.
Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
Do good. Do not become weary. But that's why the Bible says we're to approve the love, cleave to it, do it, work at it, follow after it, be zealous in it, and zealous for good works. What does the Bible say? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which Christ has prepared in advance for us to do. So our nature now is, because one of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. His character becomes our character. And everything we do is good. We are zealous for God. We imitate what is good. We overcome evil of what was good. We produce it. We are fruitful in it. Why? Because our God is ultimately good. Good. He cannot do anything wrong. There's no evil, no shade of bad or evil in him at all. And that's what he wants to put into us. And that's our pursuit, to do good, to be good, and to do those good works which he's preparing in advance. In fact, he gives us the ability, the Bible says, to not just to do, but to abound in good works. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, this is what also our testimony, this is what, which is what marks us out. See, our words, we need to talk to people, yes, but there's sometimes our words, there's no need. Because Peter says this, live such good lives that the pagans may accuse you, but they will see your what? Your good deeds and be dumb. See, that's the power of a testimony, isn't it? Because we are following the law. We are doing good. Everything we do is what he would have done or he would do. And that's a great testimony. Oh, help us, Lord. He is good. We are not. But we, when we get saved, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. That's why at the end of chapter 7, in verse, then he goes to chapter 8, doesn't he? In Romans, oh, now, Spirit of God, he's made me alive. Now I can overcome. Now I can go the way of the Lord. I can do the will of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God is within me. Hallelujah. Bless him. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.